Hey guys, and welcome to episode 4 of the XTC Tech Show. I'm your host, Fahad. And today we're going to do things a little bit different from what we've done. And what I mean by different is we're changing up the time, the duration of the show, for this week's episode and episode 5 as well. And this is for a number of reasons, but first off, we're going to change the duration to, instead of about an hour, we're going to make it probably 20 to 30 minutes-ish. And so that cuts the show in half pretty much. And we're going to be covering, instead of a lot of topics, more of the more important big topics and reviews and news and stuff like that for tech. And like I said, this is for a number of reasons. And one of which is because I want a variety in the show and kind of just to change things up. Also to get more feedback and see which one listeners like yourself likes more, and so it's for improvement. Also, another reason is AP testing. If you guys have kids or took the AP test yourself, because they've been around for a long time, then you know what I'm talking about. AP testing starts this week, so as such, I don't have that much time. So AP testing is also a big factor, but for this week and next week. Now, on to the show. Today we have 10 bookmarks. So as you can tell, that's about half of what we usually have, which is anywhere from 18 to 23. And so our first topic or bookmark is in the computer section as usual. We're going to be talking about Ubuntu Linux. Ubuntu 10.04 Lucid Linux arrives on the scene is the name of this article. And 9.10, which was Karmic Koala, came out about a year ago, which I had. And it was great. It had the usual nice upgrades and looks. Well, they made some aesthetic changes. Well, 10.04, which is called Lucid Linux, is now Linux is now out. It came out on April 29th. It is now in the release candidate, but I've actually got my hands on it, and there's some nice changes to it. There's, like I said, the usual changes, which was also present in 9.10, and they had things such as speed upgrades, meaning faster boot times and all this. They also had some more user-friendly things where they made the UI more user-friendly. They changed up the software center, things like that. Well, 10.04 continues the same thing. They also have a what they're calling a noticeably quicker boot time on almost any machine, and they recommend SSD hard drives because apparently they boot way faster with this new 10.04 Lucid Linux, not Linux, Linux. And they also added new features, including a social networking-oriented Me menu, quote-unquote. And they also upgraded the Software Center, which is now Ubuntu Software Center 2.0, which now apparently has easier access to new software along with more, I guess, support for other for a wider variety of software. And now they don't have GIMP, is what I call it, but it's G-I-M-P. This is the first release that doesn't have GIMP. That's what I'm going to call it, even if it's wrong. G-I-M-P. Not installed or pre-installed. Instead, you get F-Spot. And they also have a Ubuntu 10.04 Netbook edition, which has even faster boot speeds and other optimizations just for the netbook. And like I said, this is the release candidate, and they said that, quote-unquote, just around the corner is the LTS version or long-term support. So guys, check that out. I did download 10.04. I must say I like it. It is noticeably faster, but I don't have an SSD on my Linux machine, so I haven't noticed blazing fast boot speeds, but there's a definite noticeable one. And I do like Software Center 2.0. It's a little bit easier. Not that the previous software centers were really hard to use or anything. I really haven't used the Me menu so much, but I will definitely look into that. It's supposed to integrate your social networking, sort of like a WebOS kind of thing, I guess. So this article is over at Engadget.com. Next up, we're talking about Yahoo. Now, this article was called Yahoo Loses Another Exec. And according to this article, Brian Lamkin, SVP of the Consumer Products Group, has decided to leave Yahoo to, quote-unquote, pursue a new entrepreneurial venture. And According to Yahoo's last day will be May 28th. And this may not seem that important. It's just another exec. However, the key word here is Yahoo loses another exec. Apparently, what happened is there's Joanne Bradford, the SVP of U.S. Revenue and Market Development for Yahoo, who first left in March. And she left for a new job offer at Demand Media. A month later, so in April, the CTO and Chief Product Officer Ari Bailo, I think it's Bailo, excuse me if I pronounced it wrong, Ari Bailo, and he said that he was leaving as well, but he didn't really have a, I guess, publicized reason for why he's leaving. And now you have Lampkin leaving. So now Yahoo's starting to lose another exec or more execs. And there's not really a reason why. I mean, some of these, they're mainly leaving for other business opportunities, I guess you could say. But sources inside Yahoo say that Lampkin, his actual reason for leaving is because he couldn't get along with CEO Carol Bartz. But Lampkin denies that and says it's just simply time to move on. And so this article is over at CNET, and I don't know exactly what to make of this. The CEOs and all this, not CEO, excuse me, SVP and all these high up execs leaving, I'm sure it's going to hurt Yahoo, but I don't think it's like Infinity Ward, where it's because there was kind of like a scandal type thing going on. So I don't know. It might just be time for them to leave. So it's up to you guys on this one. And so, like I said, this is over at CNET.com. Next, we're talking about the iPad. I'm sure those of you who have followed the show, or do follow the show, remember episode 2 where I talked about how Israel banned the iPad. They said no iPads whatsoever, not even tourists. And they said it's because of something to do with the Wi-Fi and how it will mess with their bandwidth usage. Well, now 2 weeks after they started actually confiscating the iPads, Israel has now lifted their ban. And their Minister of Communications, Moshe Kaklan, approved the import. And so now iPads are now allowed. And they first, like I said, their first concerns when they first prohibited the device was that the wireless signal could disrupt other devices. And so they actually seized a few iPads from tourists in the airport. And now the communications ministry, said that iPads would now be allowed to be imported beginning Sunday, so today. And the iPad Wi-Fi only model went on sale on April 3rd, and this is the one that they're going to be allowing. So in episode two, I kind of knew that Israel would eventually give up this little ban thing. This is what they did with the iPhone when it first came out. It's claiming that the 3G and the Wi-Fi would really mess with their networks, but soon enough they caved. However, for the iPhone, they actually held out for a good few months. So they only lasted about 2 weeks after they actually started confiscating. This article is over at CNET.com. So another CNET. Next up, we're talking a little bit more about Apple, but specifically the Apple versus Adobe. Now, Steve Jobs announced that he thinks Flash sucks. Now, he didn't say that word for word. Of course, he cleaned it up and said it in a professional way, but he kind of said that Flash did suck. Like I said, he didn't use the word suck, but that's pretty much what he said. And he said it because he was giving a response to why he wouldn't allow Flash on the iPod, iPad, and iPhone. Well, now Adobe, like they always do, has a response to Apple. And again, it's via blog posts, which they love doing. And what they said was, now, they have the blog post on the article, which, like I said, all links are in the show notes, so you guys can go check it out. It's a decently written blog post. I mean, it says a lot from the company, and I'm not really going to read it all to you guys, but pretty much what Adobe is saying is that they're moving forward, or they're kind of like forgetting Apple for now. They, like, here are some excerpts from the blog post, and this kind of says it all. They said that, that Apple has, because of the legal terms that Apple has imposed on developers, we have already decided to shift our focus away from Apple devices for both Flash Player and Air. We are working to bring Flash Player and Air to all the other major participants in the mobile ecosystem, including Google, RIM, I guess, Palm, soon to be HP, Microsoft, Nokia, and others. So, as you can tell, Flash has decided that the Apple is not a battle worth fighting. So they're moving on. And of course, what do? They offer Flash to all of the iPhone's competitors. And I don't know if you guys heard me say this, but Palm, soon to be HP. Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. And actually, that's our next bookmark. So anyways, this article was over at Gizmodo.com. And now, next up, we are talking about HP and Palm, just like I was saying. That's right, if you didn't infer or kind of figure it out from the last bookmark, HP bought Palm. And I believe in episode 2 it was, where I talked about how Palm was looking for potential buyers on the market through the help of Goldman Sachs. Well, HP is that buyer. HP has announced that it's going to buy Palm in a $1.2 billion all-cash transaction. And this is something that takes everyone by surprise. HP did not seem like the company who would actually be purchasing Palm. And if you think about it, though, it does make sense. And, here in the article, they have a little stat kind of thing where they had a poll. And this is from Engadget, and they said that they had a "Who Should Buy Palm" poll, and they got HP was on there, and it only got 2% of the vote saying that HP should buy it. But like I was saying, it does make sense that HP buys it, because HP is a huge player in the tech industry, but they really aren't a big presence in the mobile market that's growing so fast, and so it makes sense that they would buy Palm. And like I said, the deal, they're not really buying them right now, because there's some things that they have to, like, I guess they're called business hurdles, I guess you could call them, that they must first overcome, and these are like things imposed by the SEC and FTC. So once they do that, it's expected that HP will be officially the owner of Palm by the third fiscal quarter, which ends in July. And like I said, it's a $1.2 billion all-cash transaction. And what HP plans to do is buy all of Palm's outstanding stock at $5.70 a share. And then HP has said that they will allow all Palm – well, not all, but what they're calling retention plans, aggressive retention plans. And so they're going to allow most – from what I can tell, most of the employees to stay on at Palm. Palm's current products, such as the Palm Pre Plus, the Pixie Plus, are not going to be affected by the deal. And HP's products obviously aren't going to be affected by the deal. But one thing that Palm and HP have been really hinting at is improving and making an awesome web OS. I mean, from what I'm reading, they're willing to, like, put in as much money as needed in order to make an awesome web OS. And with this web OS, they keep hinting at an awesome line of tablets and netbooks which will be using this new web OS, which has yet to be announced. But they keep hinting at it. And so, like I said, this article is over at Engadget. Check it out, guys. I'm glad that Palm finally got a buyer. They're kind of struggling for a while. But I, for one, like I said, most people, did not see HP actually buying Palm. But I guess that's what's going to happen. So, Engadget.com, guys. Next up, we're going to be talking about gaming. Man beats Bejeweled 2 after 2,200 hours of playing. That's right. You heard me. 2,200 hours. That is one extreme gamer. I'm sure you and myself, as everyone else, have played Bejeweled 2. Great time waster, or time killer, excuse me, not waster. And I have it on my iPod Touch. At first, I was not a fan, but after I started playing, I became quite a fan of the game. But 2,205 hours, to be exact, was played by this 56-year-old man from California, and he earned a score of 4,872,229 gems, which effectively beats the game. And by beating, what they mean is, when he scored his last point, which is 2,200 points, the game was not programmed to go up that high. The score was not programmed to go up that high. So it effectively gave him a blank score, meaning he effectively beat the game. Wow. I thought I was so awesome when I got to level 25, but wow. 2,205 hours. No small feat. Bejeweled co-creator Brian Feet said in a statement, "When Mike collected that next gem, the additional 2,200 points would have put his score above the maximum calculable score, and much like some of the original arcade games, it caused his score to, quote-unquote, flip around to a negative number. Well, the game's code wasn't designed to display a negative number, so it just showed a blank where the score should be." He said that the reason that they didn't make it any higher is because they actually were under the impression that no one would ever get this high. So, congrats to this 50-year-old man. Laid, the man who actually played, says that he's not much of a gamer, but he doesn't enjoy an occasional Tetris game here and there. Wow. So, there you go, guys. This article is also over at CNET. Wow, a lot of CNET today. Next up, we're talking about Mac and Steam. Steam from Valve, well, Valve, I guess. Valve announced, I guess, a month, 2 months, can't quite remember. Or I think it was a month ago, in March, or two months now that it's May. So in March, Valve declared that they will be bringing the Steam platform, Steam, over to the Mac platform sometime in April. Well, that didn't really happen in April, but they now have a set date. Steam is set to arrive on the Mac on May 12th. And Steam has promised that they will be bringing over their Source game engine. And they'll be bringing over a lot of the popular titles such as Team Fortress 2, Counter-Strike, Portal, Left 4 Dead 2, and the Half-Life series. And I, for one, am very, very, very excited. Because I did play Team Fortress 2 and Counter-Strike and Half-Life 2 on my PC, but I recently made a purchase and bought the Mac Mini, and so now I can't really do that much gaming on my Mac because, I mean, first of all, it's the Mini, so it's not designed for gaming, but I do like an occasional game here and there, but I haven't found any good Mac games, so I'm kind of excited. May 12th. So this article is over at PCWorld.com. Now we are talking about Call of Duty. And no, we're not talking about the Infinity Ward debacle for once on the show. We're going to be talking about the new game that's supposed to come out. And that is Call of Duty Vietnam. Now, that's not the actual name. That's what they first were calling it. But that's what they announced it as. But now Activision has announced that the game will be called Call of Duty Black Ops. And they will be working to make this with Treyarch, and it's set to be in the Vietnam era. And people have been talking and rumors have been going around for a long time that the new game wouldn't be in the World War II setting, and for once the rumors are right. Obviously, Vietnam will be set in the Vietnam War era, excuse me, and like, it's not actually Vietnam. Black Ops, gotta start calling it that. They actually have a teaser out for this game, Black Ops, and I'll be probably putting a link in the show notes. And Activision really hasn't said anything, but the trailer did come out on Spike TV on Friday at 12:40 a.m. Eastern Time. And I did see it. Game looks good, but personally for me, from what I've seen in the trailer, I'm probably not going to be purchasing the game anytime soon until I hear great reviews about the game like I did from Modern Warfare 2. Then I'll probably make the purchase. But for now, no plans on purchasing this thing. But pretty cool trailer, guys. This article is over at IGN.com. Next up, we're talking about Bungie. Now, Bungie is famous for the Halo series, and so I'm not talking about that, though, which is kind of weird. Bungie has teamed up with Activision. That's right. I know I said I wasn't really going to talk about the Infinity Ward debacle, but I can't help it. I'm too interested. This is kind of like the latest development. Activision's pretty much gone, and what's happening now is Bungie has made a 10-year exclusive deal with Activision, and they're going to be producing some unknown franchise, which is set for the next console cycle. And this thing, there's not much information on it, but the biggest thing here is that Bungie is now teamed up with Activision for 10 years. And so I expect good things, because Bungie did a great job with Halo, as we all know, from the success of the series. And they said that the last game, the last in the Halo series, will be Halo Reach. And they now are going to be teamed up with Activision. And I, for one, did not see this coming at all. This hit me by surprise, even more so than the HP buys Palm. Because I didn't really see Bungie, you know, working for Activision. Because I thought they were kind of like rivals, or at least competitors, but, yeah, I guess. This is kind of funny, though, because now Bungie's teamed up with Activision versus Respawn Entertainment, which is teamed up with Electronic Arts, so it would be kind of good for us consumers to see what kind of awesome games are produced by these two powerhouse partnerships. But this article is over at developonline.net. Finally, we're going to be talking about Sony. Specifically the PS3, now that we're talking about gaming. And the name of this article is, "Hey Sony, don't mess with the Linux, says PS3 lawsuit." In April, Sony has released a update 3.21, which isn't required for us PS3 owners. However, it kind of is. It's one of those deals where they said that you don't have to download it, but if you don't download that update, but, I mean, first off, I'm sure you've already downloaded the update because it's May 1st, but in case you haven't downloaded the update, you kind of need to, because they say it's not required, but if you don't, then you will have pretty much everything taken away from you. And what I mean by that is, failing to actually install the update will result in being locked out of the PlayStation Network, not being able to play new games, not being able to view Blu-ray movies, and not being able to play copyright-protected videos streamed off a media server. So they don't give you much of a choice, really. It's one of those things where they say, oh, you don't have to do it, but then you can't do blah, blah, and blah, so you kind of have to. And now, here's the main thing about this firmware update, because, I mean, most people don't have problems installing updates. It's not that big of a deal. Just install. But this one, 3.21, disables the install other OS feature in the older PS3s. So for those of you who have the PS3 Slim, like myself, not a big deal for us because we never had this option really before. But for those of you who have the older PS3s, this can kind of be a big deal because now your Linux is gone. And so here's where the lawsuit begins. This guy, he sued Sony because he claims that Sony, knowingly and willingly accepted monetary benefits from plaintiff and the class, but Sony did not honor its obligations. Rather, Sony benefited from the sales of PS3s with the other OS function, which it then forced purchasers to either disable or forgo other important PS3 functions. That's a lot of words, so let me explain that. The lawsuit, the guy, he's suing on the grounds that Sony knowingly sold the PS3s with the Linux feature, the other OS feature, and took people's money and now got rid of it. So they took it away from the people who paid extra money just so they'd have that feature. And it may not seem like that big of a deal, but this lawsuit, if you think about it, this makes sense. Because a lot of people, including this guy who's suing, says that the reason he did not purchase an Xbox 360 or any of the other game systems, because he wanted to install an alternative operating system, such as Linux, on his PS3. And that was a selling feature. So Sony took his money, and now they're taking something away, a feature. So I don't know if I'd call that false advertising, because they give you something or they advertise it, you get it, and then they take it away from you after you pay. But the guy's lawsuit does make sense. It really does. For me, I don't think he'll win. And I don't think he'll even get to really like a jury or anything of that sort. I feel like Sony's either going to give us back the install OS feature, or they're going to come up with a different solution. But I don't think it's really going to be settled in court. I don't think they're going to pay this guy off or anything like that. Because Sony, I have the feeling that they won't really argue with this. I mean, they're not going to go to court and start fighting this guy. We're either going to get another update that gives us our feature back, or Sony's going to come up with another way to effectively shut this guy down. But will Sony reinstate the feature? Probably not. But still, there's hope for those of you who have the older PS3. But one of the reasons why I feel like Sony really won't fight for this is because now with God of War 3 out and the Slim sales have gone up. The PS3 Slim sales have gone up so much that Sony's actually on tight production, meaning it's kind of like where it's at the Wii, where it's sold out in places, which really hasn't happened with the PS3 in a long time. So I feel like Sony's on a ball, and they're not gonna give us back the install OS feature. But at least this guy tried. And this article is over at PCWorld.com. That does it for today's show. Thanks for listening, and I hope you guys like the slightly shorter show. We're gonna be doing the same thing on episode 5. So thanks for listening. Please check our blog out at xtctech.wordpress.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/xtctech. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel and rate, and please provide some kind of feedback, guys. I don't know how much more I can stress this, but comment, rate, subscribe on YouTube at youtube.com/xtctech. Finally, you can drop me an email at xtctechblog@gmail.com. That does it for today's episode. Thanks for listening.